conversation.
All right, welcome this morning to Commissioner's Court. We appreciate y'all being here. And I'm going to ask, do we have a volunteer this morning for our opening prayer? Constable Gable, would you come up to the microphone if you would, please? You're always so eloquent, and we want to make sure we don't miss anything.
Yes,
thank you, sir.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning to just say thank you. Thank you for all the many blessings you bestow upon us. We ask that you continue to look over our great nation, our state, Montgomery County, and we just continue to ask that you watch over our first responders, law enforcement, military. And we ask this in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. On our pledges.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor of the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state under God, one and indivisible.
Thank you, and you may be seated. If we could let the record reflect that all of our commissioners are present. Do we have a motion to approve our court agenda today, gentlemen?
Move.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Move on to our citizens' comments. Are there any citizens here who would like to make comments about a topic that is either on the consent agenda or a regular agenda? All right, if not, then let's move on. On concerning the consent agenda, do I have a motion to, gentlemen, if I could, I'd like to defer a couple of items. I've been asked to defer two items for our consent agenda on, first is page, they're both on page 3, 8A6 at the top of the page, 8A6 and 8A7. Defer both of those. Just turn the page to page 3. Just turn your agenda page right to the next page, second page in.
Yeah, what is the title of what you're doing?
It's under the auditor, but it says consider and approve request by Justice of the Peace Precinct 3.
Oh, yeah, good.
Top of the page. Those two, 6 and 7 right there, have been asked to defer those.
Perfect. Do you have any others?
Any others?
Yes, I do. I want to move on, I think it's page 4. It'll be 8E4 under purchasing.
Okay.
I just had a question about that one. And then under county attorney, I wanted to move all of those to executive session. I just wanted a better update.
Hold on just a second.
You're moving forward to open, is that what
you're
doing?
Yeah, I just have a question about that.
To AE4, correct? On page 4, number 4, towards the bottom of the page, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you consider and approve authorizing Tim Stewart?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then under the county attorney, the... Under
what page is that on, Commissioner?
My agenda's printed differently.
It's page 8, I believe.
Our county attorney's on
page
8.
Yeah, page 8.
The all precincts, so A, B, C, D, and E, if we could just move those.
To open or executive?
In executive session. I just wanted an update on them.
Okay.
More specifically.
All right. Are there any other changes to our consent agenda, gentlemen?
I move with those changes.
All right. We have a motion to approve the consent agenda with modifications. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right. Then let's move right on over to our first, AE4. Commissioner.
Yes. So I don't know where purchasing is, Gilbert. Typically, don't we have all these change orders brought to court and the court approves them? I just don't understand the change here.
Right. No, that's the process. However, the statute does allow for this court to designate an individual to approve change orders up to a certain dollar amount. And so I brought this to the court. There are things that happen during the construction of the forensic center that may require a change order in time or changes or whatever it might be that we would have to wait 2 to 3 weeks to bring back to court and would slow the project down. The court can cap the change orders. The statute caps it at 50% or 25% of the project, but 50 is a good number. And it's also capped by the budget.
And that'd be what, $6 million? I mean, to me, I wouldn't...
I wouldn't do 25%, but 50,000, you can cap it at $50,000.
I'm fine with
50,000. You said 50%, half of the total amount of the project.
$50,000 or 25% of the construction project.
Yeah, 50,000, I think, is fine. I do want you to be able to make those decisions in the field, but big decisions, we need to be aware of.
Right, that's the goal.
Okay, because it didn't specify that. So if we, I'll make the motion that we do this.
Second.
With 50,000.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Right. Thank you.
Thank you, Gilbert. Appreciate it
so much.
Thanks,
all
Tim,
right.
for doing that.
We've moved the other to the executive sessions. Let's go ahead and move to our open court, information technology. Bobby?
Good morning, Commissioners. Good morning, Judge.
Morning.
Please consider and approve opening position 503-3963-2, video management software technician. Annualized salary to be $48,993.62 to be funded out of Commissioner Precinct 2 budget. And please authorize any necessary action to effect the same.
You can tell everybody what this is, Bobby, what we're doing.
So we've got,
what we're trying to accomplish.
At this point, we've got somewhere in the nature of 2,000 video cameras across the county, and we've got one guy designated to try to keep these things running, and he is spending all of his time doing maintenance. So he's one end of the county to the other, rebooting cameras and replacing old equipment. So we need somebody else to help him.
I know what
so we can actually move forward on other projects we have going.
So this would be for immediate... Commissioner, the yes. Precinct 2 would, say, analyze the $48,993. That's the balance for this budget.
That's the actual salary.
That's the actual salary.
Annual salary.
The position
okay.
salary.
Okay.
Got it. I move.
Second.
Any more discussion?
Don't leave, though.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you, sir.
Commissioner Judge, while Bobby's up here with IT, I want him to bring us a proposal. Hopefully next court. We have spent a lot of time, money, and energy putting in new technology, especially into our courtrooms, commissioners' offices, a lot of our different facilities, the Zoom rooms. And the issue that we're starting to see is we have all of this technology, but we don't have anybody available to service it, to fix it, to keep it up and running.
Train us on it.
So I have Bobby and the company that put this together bringing us a proposal for somebody that would be dedicated to doing just that. So hopefully you'll have it next quarter.
These are guys that put, oh, man.
And they would actually office out of the bottom of the courthouse. We have a location.
Yeah. And then they'd be there. So if a judge is in trial and they need something working, they can run over there and get it taken care of, or if we have something. But we can't have all of this technology and not utilize it, not have somebody to run it. So
I agree.
Okay, I've talked to these guys. Part of the condition of us doing with them to begin with was that they would spend the time with us, whatever we need to do to train. I mean, we've got all this technology in our cars. Most people don't have a clue how half of it works, and we don't want that here in the court, especially given the amount of money that we've made. And they'll come in to help us to do it.
Yes, sir.
So cool. Awesome.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Anything else? Jason, if you would please, emergency management. Update on vaccinations.
Good morning, Judge and Commissioners. So item A is there just really to give you guys an update of where we stand on vaccine distribution across the county. Last week, the county site opened up at the fairgrounds with Lone Star Family Health as our provider. Went very smooth. We did just shy of 2,000 vaccines out of that site in the 3 days that we were open. We opened up a pop-up site on Saturday in Tamina and did another 265 on Tamina on site. on Saturday. This morning at 11, the site will open back up at the fairgrounds with Lone Stars as our provider again. They have 1,000 reservations today. Our goal is to get through 1,000 this afternoon. Tomorrow they'll be open on site again with another 750. Also tomorrow, St. Luke's Hospital opens up its hub. We're partnering with them with logistics and traffic control. They have 1,950 to do this week. They think they'll have them done by the end of the week, and Rumor is they'll have a substantial amount next week, which may cause us to move St. Luke's off their campus sooner than we had anticipated, moving them across the street to Wood Forest Stadium. That's going to be a much better location for that type of volume versus on the St. Luke's campus because of the intersection there at 242 and 45. And having to shut down some highway lane or some feeder lanes in order to accommodate the traffic is not going to be a long-term approach to this. We are still waiting from the state for our partners on the west side, which is Magnolia Pharmacy, to receive a large allocation so we can open their hub. And Kroger, who's our partner on the east side, they have yet to receive a large allocation specifically yet. So we're about halfway with our providers getting a large enough allocation where we start burning through reservations and on through our wait list fast. But as we get through them, we're going to continue with the two locations we have now, and hopefully we'll ramp up with additional allocation where we can do we can accommodate the fairgrounds about 6,000 a week out of the fairground location without any traffic disruptions. So we can do a lot more than that with a little bit of traffic disruption. Conroe PD's aware of what we've got going on, and they're ready to assist, but we're good there.
But just to clarify, the county is not receiving these vaccinations.
Correct.
Our partners are receiving them, and we are helping to facilitate
Correct.
The distribution of these.
Correct. Yeah, the model the state is looking at right now is mass vaccinations. Who can provide the most in the shortest amount of time? And so Lone Star, St. Luke's, Public Health District, a number of entities raised their hand and said, we can do it. That we can do it was contingent on OEM and the county helping them with the logistics and the support. And so we have been coordinating on-site vaccinators, monitors with the fire departments to monitor those who receive vaccinations. We provide law enforcement support for traffic control, tents, cones, lunch, everything you can imagine that sets these sites up. That's what we're coordinating for these partners so they can make it easy.
How are we doing compared to other counties our size?
Well, the state was on site last Wednesday, and they were very impressed with the operation. They have not seen a drive-through work that as efficiently. They were indicating to us that they were going to try to up our allocation so we can accommodate more and become more of a regional hub, because Walker County, Grimes County, San Jacinto County, and Liberty County, we're not going to receive large allocations, so we could become a hub county for our northern and eastern western counties to help them out as well. We can accommodate that. Other leaders came on, the city of Pearland, Walker County judge was on site. They had a lot of tours that we gave last week, so they can try to replicate the model. Some can and some can't, but we could easily become that regional hub once we get
If we start doing it for other counties, is there any basis of reimbursement from those guys for helping them, or is this all from our CARES funds?
As of right now, it'll be from CARES funds. The vaccine itself and some of the materials that comes with the vaccine are free from the state, so there's no cost there. But the labor cost, the employee cost, the logistics costs would be us. We would have that already set up. We wouldn't have to double up anything to accommodate the extra size. We've got that built in. So,
Judge Jason,
yes, Commissioner.
I was looking for a specific email I received, but I can't find it quickly, about the way that the vaccines were being handled in the county, specifically the ease and efficiency of the drive-through that you guys set up. So I wanted to thank you for that. We really did get some good feedback on that, that it's moving quickly, it was efficient, that they were very happy with it. Second thing, and this came to me yesterday from one of my constituents in the east side of 45, and he brought up a good point. He said, Commissioner, one of the things that is not working is you are depending on, we want to vaccinate some of the older population first, and you're depending on the use of technology to get them signed up to do this, and they're just not able to they're not that quick sometimes to be able to get in and get the vaccine registered,
right,
or they don't have the computers or things to do so. So we do need to think of another way to prioritize and access, gain access for
Correct.
Some of our, older population. And the last thing is on serving as a hub for the region, I would first want us to focus on Montgomery County. I mean, it's got to be Montgomery County
sure.
first, take care of our residents.
No
and
question.
If we get the majority of them done, then we can open up and help out
sure.
others.
How are you going to assure you that we do that?
So therein lies one problem. We're not allowed to disseminate. If you're a Texas resident, you can get a shot anywhere in the state of Texas. So we're not checking, are you a Montgomery County resident in any of our hubs? And so one of the...
I wouldn't have said that out loud.
Yeah, well, that is, when the state's pushing out the vaccine for free, that is a string that comes attached to it from the feds down from the state. So one of the ways we thought to bring more to the table, which would only help our residents too, is by saying, yes, we could accommodate regionally more doses here to help everybody, and just we would have more on hand. At the same time, our one snafu that we are having is the registration process. Darren and Chris were working last night to try to gather all the lists from the various providers and see if we can go through that list, see if there's duplicates, if they've signed up in multiple places, try to consolidate it to one master list and work through that. The public health district, the way they're prioritizing is you can sign up online at any time. They are basically sort ranking the oldest patient first down to the youngest patient in the qualification range and taking the first 400. They had 400 doses this week. They're taking the first 400 off the top, starting with the oldest, I believe, is 97 years old. So they're going to start ranking them like that until they get large enough quantity where they can open it up to a different, broader stroke. And another thing we're working on is we do have the call center right now working at OEM, and we're trying to work through a way to set aside some call center reservations so people who don't have access to the internet, don't have access to sit in front of a computer and refresh that screen hundreds of times an hour, they can at least call in and we can get a couple dozen or so signed up each day that way to at least start working through that demographic as well. Until we have a few more thousand a day on hand in vaccine, we're going to be running through this, I hate to use the term, hunger games, where everyone's fighting for the 1,000 doses that we have, but that's sort of how it is right now. It also, each provider has a different set of criteria that they have to hit for demographics and the information they're required to gather in order to effectively administer and prescribe the vaccine to that person. And for state tracking purposes, for 3M Intrax, they have to gather this data. So each one of them has their own reservation set up and not a master set up, so to speak, because as the judge pointed out, the county is not a provider where we're providing it with their assistance. They're providing it with our assistance. So we're kind of having to follow their processes a little bit. We're trying to help them refine that. We've made strides. We have found a company to help Lone Star speed up their process and registration. We looked at that together yesterday. And it's just a matter of time before we improve on that process, too. It's just we're learning as we go.
On the first day of registration, to give you an idea how fast these things are filling up, what was the time frame from when they opened the website to when? Was it 2,000, 1,800?
We did 1,900 reservations last week in 18 minutes.
So how many total residents of Montgomery County have gotten the vaccine so far?
As of yesterday, just over 18,900.
I mean, he's waiting on a list.
I'm going to guess here, between all the lists that I've been told, probably close to 10,000.
Jason, how do you know it's that number if you aren't asking if they're a Montgomery County resident when they...
So the state tracks by 3M Intrax. So if you look on the state's website, we receive 41,000 doses. About 27,000 of those doses are first doses. The difference in the Delta is the hospitals received them first and started giving them out. Their patient list and their employee list, they all do not live here in this county, so they went to other places. If you go to DSHS's website, you can track how many are received or how many in each county have been vaccinated with one dose versus two doses fully vaccinated. So they are the state is tracking it by resident. So
tell us, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Commissioner.
Go ahead, Commissioner.
What I'm hearing from some of my people, they're not positive they're rich. And I heard you say they have to go and keep refreshing and all this.
Yep, so a sign-up doesn't guarantee you a slot. If you've officially reserved your slot, your time appointment, you will receive a follow-up email from that provider giving you a link to fill out the state-required paperwork to get your Imitrax account set up. And then you will receive either a barcode or a QR code, which actually secures your appointment on the site. And so for those folks who have signed up, they may have signed up on just a waiting list to receive an email or a text message when that website opens back up for actual registration. It just depends on which one they were using. But if they are actually signed up and have a secured appointment, they will have a follow-up email within minutes of securing that appointment, which will give them instructions to follow on when to show up, what paperwork is necessary, identification, and things like that.
Go ahead.
I don't understand that. I mean, if you go in, you
you do it. And, you know, there's multiple places I'm hearing now that you can sign up.
Sure.
So that's just
creating
more of a issue.
The state's model is not the ideal model for this in a sense, where they've got over 9,000 providers across the state signed up to receive a vaccine and provide a vaccine. So you have 9,000 people on a list, so to speak, that are eligible to administer a vaccine, and they're publicly known. So folks are going to each one of these sites in their county or surrounding counties and signing up on their list. And that's why the OEM's working to try to consolidate all of our lists with our known providers and try to weed out the duplicates so we have one big master list so we can start working down that master list. The pharmacy out in Magnolia, for instance, he had over 7,000 on his list as of Friday. It's probably more now.
Per Cecil
yeah.
contact.
Yeah. So we're trying to make it more simpler. If it was up to the emergency management team across all the counties in the state, including the state emergency management team,
yeah.
it would have been public health districts and the major hospitals only receiving. All the little pharmacies and all the little doctor's offices would be next to receive. Let us get the bulk vaccines out first and not make it to where one guy's getting 100 and the other guy's getting 200 and you're all scrambling for those 300 doses.
Well, it's not for me. It's not about how many vaccines we get for our community. It's the process of how they're signing up and
Correct.
How they're – every day they're waking up and they're trying to – and if they keep signing up, it just creates a bigger monster that they
Correct.
Have to try to break down.
We're hopeful.
And they truly don't know if they're signed up.
Yeah, that's true. We're hopeful, cross our fingers, that when we can receive a bulk amount, which I'm talking 7,000-10,000 a week at one of our providers, we won't have to go through the registration process, but for select groups and just open it up first come, first serve on site if you're in that demographic of 1A or 1B. To where we can just get that group in and just start working through them as fast as possible. However, with limited amount of vaccines on hand, the worst thing that can happen is at the end of the day we open a vial to give a shot for one person and there's 9 more to 10 more doses in that vial and there's no one there on site to receive them. I have run into that already where at the end of the day we have 3 or 4 sitting syringed up ready to go, but everyone on site that's working, paramedics and first responders, they've already been vaccinated. We don't have one laying around or easily to get a hold of that can come on site. So we've scrambled at the end of the day and started going through our first responders list to get someone on site
so
before that dose goes to waste.
If you pull it up in a vial, I understand that because it's air or whatever.
Correct.
But if it's still in that little
Once
vial?
Once it's in the syringe, it's 5 hours. It can be used within 5 hours. If the vial has been open, unsealed and open,
yeah.
5 hours. After that, it's a wasted dose. So far in this county, knock on wood, we have not wasted a single dose with our providers. Because of the reservation process, as painful as it has been, has kept us allocating enough doses and opening enough vials that day to accommodate only those with reservations. And we have a buffer list that Darren and Chris and all of us at OEM have gotten from our first responding agencies so we can call them up in a very short order to come up at the end of the day if we run out of people or we've had a no-show. We've had a few people not show up for their appointment. So,
if I may, are you done, Commissioner? You're good?
No, I'm not.
Oh, okay. Okay. I got to get this question out.
Go ahead.
Tell us. Okay, so everybody gets a first shot. We're going through all this process for the first shot. How in the world are they going to get signed up?
Sure.
Tell us what
the process is. Second shot's a little bit easier because we already have identified the person the first time around. So the provider will send an email to them when it becomes time for their second dose. And they'll be given an access code to access the appointment system that will be reserved specifically for second doses because the state sends second doses in a separate batch. They're not counted in our first dose allocation. So we're guaranteed by the state to receive our second doses. We receive them on time. The folks will be notified to come in for their second dose. There'll be a follow-up process to make sure they've properly were notified. In theory, everyone who's received one thus far should have access to their email and their cell phone because at some point they had to receive that follow-up email with the link for them to fill out the paperwork in order to get that first dose. So we know that process has worked with them, and we tell them that when they receive the shot. Here's your shot card. We'll see you back in 4 weeks because right now we are using Moderna on our sites. And so it's a 28-day turnaround for your second dose. We'll see you back in 4 weeks. You should receive a follow-up email within, you know, three and a half weeks from now, giving you a scheduled time to come back or an appointment slot where you can come back and get your second dose.
Gentlemen, is there any more discussion on that? We don't. That's just an update, correct? We don't need to vote on
there's
it.
There's no voting on that one.
Yeah, all right.
If there's any feedback you get from your constituents, please pass it on to Darren or myself or or Chris or Mark Seals, because we need to know these things so we can tweak any processes we're doing to try to make this better. We've mastered the distribution point. The hiccup is the registration and appointment point.
You come out to, you said you were going to move, you possibly moving St. Luke's across the street to the stadium.
Yeah.
Are you coming to the west side at all?
Yeah, we have a partner on the west side.
With
ready,
Magnolia
Pharmacy. He can accommodate 1,000 a day out of his location. He's received extra space from the office complex he's in to accommodate this. He's just waiting for allocation.
Is it a drive-through in Magnolia?
He will not be a drive-through at first. We are working with him to get him out to come see our drive-through model. The be perfectly honest with you, not all of the providers, since it is their medical license on the hook for prescribing the vaccine, are convinced with the drive-through model. Those that were apprehensive last week came to our site, immediately changed their tune, and will do a drive-through model.
Why are they apprehensive?
Because there's a 15-minute wait that you have to go through after you receive the shot to ensure there's no anaphylaxis or any allergic reaction to the shot, and they're concerned about that. The way we do it on site is, as after your vaccine has been administered, you pull up to a monitoring location, which is just a few feet from where you received your shot. You turn your car off. You put the keys on the dash. A firefighter or a paramedic will keep coming around to your car and the other cars around you about every 30 seconds or so, checking on you and talking to you. And as traffic moves up, you have to start your car and move up. If you're not moving up when that time comes, we go immediately to you to check on you. All of last week, we had no issues with allergic reactions or anaphylaxis. We did have one individual that had an anxiety attack, but other than that, it wasn't related to the vaccine itself. So after other physicians, other practices have came on site to see this, they've alleviated their fears. The model does work. Bigger sites are using it. FEMA has been tasked by the new administration to roll out hundreds of these sites under this same model. We're ahead of the curve in that sense. Public health is going to use the drive-through model now. They can accommodate far more doses this way, and as a result, they can tell the state they can accommodate far more doses, which puts them further in up the list to get more in hand faster versus being the little guy on the list, and we'll get to you later. The state's prioritizing big hubs first. So Magnolia Hub has said he can handle 1,000 a day, which is he wants to do it 6 days a week, 6,000 a week. That should put him in line to receive them. So far, he just hasn't. Darren sent a letter to DSHS, State Department of Health, last week mentioning all of our hubs and our providers and how we were accommodating them with logistics. And we're hoping to get that prioritized here soon.
Jason, that's excellent. Thank you all very much for the thorough explanation. We all appreciate it. Let's move on to item B.
Yes, sir. Item B, consider and discuss take appropriate action authorizing OEM to make necessary purchases related to vaccine distribution sites, an amount not to exceed $100,000. This would take the total project authorized thus far to $200,000, funds to come from CARES Fund Act. My concern, reason this is on here, as we've moved through one of the, and Judge has already toured the St. Luke site. It's an impressive site. It's a large tent. They're expensive to rent. They're not cheap. We were hoping to be on site with St. Luke's for a month, and we could still be there a month. But I guarantee you, after St. Luke's gets through this week and they receive double the allocation next week or even triple from what the rumor is from the state, the parking situation, the traffic situation is going to be a problem. And Darren and I are already working with St. Luke's. We're going to be with them all day tomorrow trying to work with them to accommodate moving them across the street. They agreed to move eventually. We may be moving sooner. If we do move sooner, this extra $100,000 is going to come in handy because that's a huge site to set up with what we already have going on, running multiple sites. So.
And again, this is all CARES Act money. One of the things that I would like to see, and hopefully you and Amanda can bring this next court, is kind of let's revisit the CARES Act spending with regards to
where
the vaccine.
Exactly.
Because we keep asking for money, and I'm kind of at the point now where I don't know how much is left. I don't know what we've allocated. So at this point, I want to see some information
where we stand on the process
before I vote in favor of spending anything.
I'm pretty sure Amanda and Rakesh and us, we can get together and get that.
I guess the council has some info on this.
I've got a question to bring up regarding this item. So security over the sites. The St. Luke's site is a pretty big deal as far as security goes, traffic concerns, things of that nature. There was a plan presented. Our office met with Precinct 2
constable's office regarding a plan, kind of revise some of the plan, but you're looking at a need of approximately 6 deputies out there to work the street, the inside, one to row for bathroom breaks, things of that nature. And I understand it's from 8 to 8?
At St. Luke's, yeah.
So I want to make sure that as we farm this stuff out, we have security covered for a good portion of it, but overtime funding, things of that nature. Commissioner Riley, we had a brief conversation about it. And I don't know what's been approved for overtime funding for security aspect of it, but I understand maybe $50,000 was a...
Last court, yes, sir.
So when you take 6 deputies on overtime for 10-hour shifts, that $50,000 is going to be gone in no time. And so I just want to make sure that the personnel we're putting out there get adequate pay.
And I've been talking with the county attorney's office about that, and I don't have a problem with deputies making overtime, assuming they've already worked the hours that they need to work to accumulate overtime. If they're doing this as an extra job, or if they're doing this and they haven't hit the threshold to have overtime, they would not be paid overtime yet. You understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Okay, so it wouldn't
that's,
be...
That's been an ongoing discussion.
I've had conversations where these officers thought that they were going to get time and a half to work out there, and that's not how it works.
The concern that happened this last week with regards to what the constable and the commissioner are talking about is we had a holiday in the middle of the week, and some of the deputies were off. So that put them in a category where they didn't work the hours, so it's not overtime, it's straight time. There is a straight time code and an overtime time and a half code for this project specifically set up for vaccine distribution, site security. The constable's office, the sheriff's office, all of our law enforcement agencies in the county have been made aware of that code when they have someone working on that site. We haven't broadcasted it out so people would unintentionally charge to that code, but it is there. As regards to the $50,000 with Amanda, as we did in the past, all last year with overtime authorizations coming to the court, we're monitoring the use of that funds, and as we get close to drying up that authorization, we'll come back to the court on a monthly basis and request additional funds to keep that account current.
Just so you're aware, this is item C on the agenda. It's right there.
Well, this one's not an item.
We'll consider discussing appropriate action, authorize the use of overtime. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, but, you know, and Constable, what they're doing is not like their regular job. Is that correct? I mean, working this site. So they're still on their regular schedule what they do, right?
Absolutely. So our personnel that are assigned to the site, their job comes first and the site comes second.
Yes.
So they're going to be working it after hours, before their normal shift, things of that nature. Because of the traffic conditions and the concerns with St. Luke's, takes the number of personnel to oversee that. Yes, sir.
Was there a set rate for those deputies throughout the county that, like, I mean, I know what you make on your regular job, but like for this, we're going to provide.
We can't do that.
We can't.
Yeah, right. We have to pay the deputy once they hit 40 hours or 80 hours for law enforcement. We pay them time and a half at their regular rate. So it's not a lower rate. It's not a higher rate for this. It's whatever they do. So once they have reached overtime, we pay them, Department of Labor Standards, we pay them time and a half. And so that rate is wherever. So if the deputy has been in our step plan and they make a higher rate, then they get paid more for being out there than someone. We don't have one set rate for vaccine or for security at vaccination sites.
Yeah, well, that's what I was asking.
The court needs to be aware that majority of the deputies that are assigned to these vaccine sites are going to be working it on an overtime nature. So
yeah,
they're going to have their 80 hours in. So that time and pay is going to be quite elevated. Yeah.
And also,
Constable, one thing to keep in mind is that necessarily isn't true. They might get their overtime through their regular working hours at your department.
Correct.
You see what I'm saying? Because they're not eligible until they've worked 80 hours of regular time in the 2-week period. But yes, they're going to be covered for overtime no matter when they work it. It's just a matter of what it may not be designated at the site.
Out.
It may be when they're on patrol at your office, but they're still going
to
get overtime.
I understand completely, but you're going to have a limited amount of personnel that are going to want to work these vaccine sites when they're not compensated at
their overtime rate when they're putting in more hours than their normal 8-hour
shift.
Well,
that's the law. That's how it has to work.
Will you have people assigned to St. Luke's that are doing this as their normal job that day? How do I ask that? You're not going to have anybody that you'll sign over there first thing in the morning that was a patrol.
All
now he's going
to
be doing
prior
this
to their shift or after their shift, their normal shifts. They're not assigned over there on regular
okay.
county.
So basically, Commissioner Riley, if they took vacation or they took sick leave or something like that, that's what we're talking about. If they worked at the vaccine site after that, then it would be straight time. But if they actually worked the full 80 hours at Constable Gable's office, then worked the vaccine sites, they would be eligible for the time and a half, which is calculated.
That's
by,
the way it is
by,
all the time.
That's correct. That's correct. Correct.
So, I think Melanie may have something to add, or she's trying to.
What you're saying on this, Constable, I guess I'm trying to translate. Are you concerned about your budget being hit for the overtime as opposed to the CARES money?
So I want to make sure that, yes, that we're utilizing the proper codes, and that when you're looking at roughly 90 positions to be covered in the time frame we've been given to cover and the hours for the number of personnel out there, you're looking at serious time for law enforcement to be out there. And, yes, I want to make sure that that money's coming out of the proper CARES Act overtime funding.
Yeah. So basically what normally happens is you fill your guys fill out a timesheet. Your admin's going to fill it out.
Right.
The auditor's office is going to verify that those were the actual legitimate codes for that particular work schedule. So if they hadn't met the 80 hours, then between the treasurer's office and the auditor's office, those codes would be changed to the proper codes. And all of that is audited before we actually then reclass it out of the department's budget into the CARES Act budget. So it doesn't automatically hit. There is a process that goes through for verification to make sure that all those hours were eligible to be used.
And as a form of just double-checking the audit, the deputy in our office, Deputy Smith, he's been assigned a task making sure all these sites are properly covered with law enforcement. He's keeping track with OEM who's on site and when, so as a form of backup to the auditor, we can make sure that deputies from Constable Gable's office are appropriately using that code, and it does not hit his budget. It hits the approved overtime budget. So we're double checking all that stuff.
Yeah, but it's going to be hard for you to check. What I'm getting at is if you have an officer who works 96 hours and they're off on Monday, Tuesday, sure. and they work their first two 12-hour shifts at the clinic first, they're going to have
the
overtime's going to hit. Exactly.
On
they're going to get
schedule.
Straight time
yeah.
first. They'll
yeah.
get overtime at Constable's
Correct.
Office, but the county's still going to reimburse
Correct.
His budget for
well,
that
Well, he'll
overtime.
Be hitting his straight time hours will be under the straight time vaccine code for his original straight time hours.
But
so,
I think what the
yeah.
Constable's also trying to say is, hey, my deputies may not want to do it if they only get straight time, and if they don't want to do it, then we'll have to find people who do.
I think the biggest,
That's
and
be
he's
the
correct,
issue.
And I had a conversation with Constable Cash about this yesterday, the biggest concern is when there's a holiday in the middle of the week and these guys take a holiday off, and now it messes with their overtime calculation and straight time calculation.
Or
That's
regular
where we'll,
days
Yeah,
off.
Regular days off, things like that. And so, it is. We'll deal with it. I mean, we've got some ILAs on some other items here where if we have to bring city police in, we have a way of compensating the cities for their law enforcement to augment, you know, those that are going to raise their hand and volunteer from our internal offices when these situations
got it.
Arise.
But, Constable, I think what you got to yeah. do is to sell them on the fact that, hey, look, you may not get the overtime there, but you're going to get it at my office doing your patrols. Shift. You know, they're going to get it anyway.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of when.
Well,
get paid.
Or comp time. Which
and we'll make dang
yeah.
sure they have the money.
Yeah.
So that won't be a
Thank
problem.
You.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Thank
Constable.
You. Constable.
Thanks for bringing
so
it up,
shared.
Brian.
Back to item B. It was just an additional $100,000 to keep our funding for available for these sites as we continue to open them up and have to move
Can
logistics around.
Can you have a motion to approve?
Move.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Jason. Okay. Item C.
Item C is related to overtime, but it's not for law enforcement. It's
right.
Overtime for our forensic service and custodial departments related to CARES Act. Specifically on the custodial, they are continuing their double shifts in the courthouses and other areas of the county buildings during the day where the public is throughout the day. We have been using those extra shifts on overtime all of last year. She has been continuing to do so this year with the auspices that I was bringing this item to court to try to get the overtime covered. Forensic Services is working overtime, as you know, with the amount of increase cases that they're dealing with, and they have been charging to that CARES overtime last year. We'd like to continue that. as a form of clarification with our public safety agencies, law enforcement agencies, the 214 sheets, the time logs are not necessary, but as per the auditor last year that the court approved, forensics and custodial will have to continue to do their timesheets and justification logs for that. So, okay. In those two departments right now, yeah. There's other departments that are using overtime related to COVID-related activities. They have not come to our attention this year to let us know they're still doing that. And if they do come to our attention, I'll be glad to bring an item to court. But as of right now, I'm unaware of it. So.
I move.
All right, we have a second. Do we have a second? I'll second. Awesome. Any more discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you.
Okay. Last item. Item D is an ILA between the county and the various entities, the City of Conroe, Woodlands Township, Montgomery County Hospital District, North Montgomery County Fire District, and Porter Fire Department. These entities have all either agreed to or are currently staffing our vaccine hubs. As we spread out across the county, we'll have the need to use all of them for sure, if not more, will be coming to the table. The county attorney's office worked on an ILA all last week and yesterday to reimburse them for these costs. It's a flat rate of $65 per man hour of them on site with us, with a minimum staffing of 6 persons at any time that OEM needs them. I can assure you of the 6 we are currently using with Conroe and the Woodlands, we've exceeded that minimum number for the last week. So,
and this is, I want to be with the Woodlands Township in particular. This is for their
fire department only.
Can we make, is that clear in the interlocal agreement that this is for?
It says public health or public safety.
Can we clarify? I want to make sure it's for their fire department personnel.
Okay.
Nobody else, please.
Yeah, we can make that edit.
All right, I'll make that motion with that change.
Okay, we have a second.
Second.
All in favor? Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you.
We'll get that corrected, get them signed and ratified back before the court next week.
Thank you.
Jason, okay, so before you leave, is there anybody here from community development? Oh, there you are. I didn't see you. I was looking for Dr. Ducharme. Okay, come on up. I'm so usually over there, yeah. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Good job. Dr. Ducharme.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And let me go ahead and say kudos to Jason and his team, because I'm also getting phone calls and feedback from all around the county saying how wonderful it's going at the fairgrounds.
That's awesome. Well done.
Smooth.
Well done.
Okay, please consider, approve, and authorize the judge to sign an updated fiscal year 2020 contract between HUD and Montgomery County for CDBG and home. This is not the first time HUD has let us go through all of our processes, public hearings, and comment periods, and then come back through and corrected their formula. And this time they dropped our allocation by less than $500. Since it's not the first time they've done it, we had money in contingency to anticipate it.
Yeah.
So we're good.
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. All right, Office of Court Administration.
Good morning, Commissioners.
Hello. Good morning.
And Judge. As you're well aware, we were here last session to talk about the necessity for a new county court at law here in Montgomery County. We recessed so we could talk to the committee on that. I think the committee is making a recommendation for one court. I have a resolution at this time if y'all are so inclined to sign it, or I could do some more presenting if you want me to do that.
No, I think we've done the work, Commissioner.
Yeah, I just want to say that it was very pleasant to work with the judges. I've talked a lot with Judge Gilbert and one of the county court of law judges and with you. And, having one court that'll be funded or created and then to be funded by 2023 of January seemed to be favorable to everybody. It gives us time to be able to prepare a budget and to come up with the funding for it. So thank y'all for working on that, and I move.
Absolutely. Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Also talked to Will Metcalf in his office. Are carrying, and I have a call into Brandon right now so that we can get through the legislature. Thank you.
I'll be following up with them.
And
thank
I have
you,
to
appreciate it.
And it, likewise, I reflect your comments. So it was very nice working with all of you on this project. Thank you.
Thank you.
And Commissioners, I did pass out a budget to you guys earlier today. That's the anticipated budget for this new CCL and the other clerk's offices that go with it along with the sheriff's office. This is just to kind of give you an idea. So whenever I will be attending the Board of Judges meeting, so whenever they do decide on what kind of court it's going to be, then we'll know which of those kind of scenarios that we're going to be facing. But this is just to give you a preliminary idea.
That's a good job, too. Thank you very much. Very thorough.
And Amanda.
Thank you, Judge.
Court, as we go through and when we're adding new courts and we're adding, you know, law enforcement and different things, one of the departments we have to remember is IT and making sure we are adding personnel to make sure we have somebody to manage all of the infrastructure inside of there. It's been some time since we've put more bodies in the IT department to help keep us going, and we're going to have to keep that in mind. So, Amanda, I think you're going to need to plan on at least putting a couple of people in the IT budget. We have to be able to have that technology utilized and put into place and upgraded and maintained, and it takes people, unfortunately.
Beautiful. Thank you very much. Appreciate y'all. All right. Commissioners, Precinct 2.
Precinct 2, I would like to move on 13A1 as stated on the agenda.
Second.
Second.
Any discussion?
Third.
All in favor?
Opposed?
Motion carries. Thank you all very much. This time we're going to move to executive session. Court will recess for executive session pursuant to one or more of the following provisions of the Texas Government Code, to wit, Chapter 551, Subchapter D, Articles 551.071. Thank you all, and we shall return. Late for us, our action item.
If the court is interested, we'd like you to consider in approving the resolution and orders under 8S3, A, B, and C.
Move. Second.
All in favor? Opposed? Motion carries. Thank
and then
you.
I'd also like you to approve the order and letter of approvals under D and E.
Move. Second.
All in favor?
Opposed?
Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. All right, at this time, are there any citizens that are with us who would like to come to the microphone? If you would, identify yourself. Please understand that we offer 3 minutes for conversation here. Proceed.
My name's Russell Schoonover with Texan Towing. First of all, thank you, Commissioners. Judge. A little better?
Yeah.
Thank you all for allowing me a few minutes to speak on this court's towing ordinance, your fair and equitable towing ordinance. Over the last 26 days, companies have come and spoke with commissioners, judges, sheriff's department, asking, begging for something of a resolution because this system is not working. 26 days into it, we find out more and more every day of how unfair this system is starting to be and has been for 26 days. There's been no actions. Everybody that we have talked to has said, yes, it's not right. This needs to be changed, but there's no actions. We are demanding some actions now. We have been on our knees begging you guys for actions, and there's been none. None. We're demanding some actions. We can't continue on like this. If y'all haven't noticed, our county's all over the news because of this system. I was in a class last week. These guys are from all over the United States knew about this system because it's failing. We've got people from out of our county and in our county and out of our state and in our state that are pointing fingers at this county laughing at this system that y'all created. It's time for a change. We begged. We're asking for change. Now we're demanding. We have to have something done. This is 26 days in, and every day there's more and more evidence showing how just unfair this system is. And this is a system that you guys, and some of you guys sitting in front of me today right now, have said just how unfair this system is, and it needs change. But has anybody made any actions to change this? We've been told that, you know, this is what we've asked for. This ain't what we asked for. This is not what you guys asked for. So what do we do to change it? We're coming to you with a problem. We want a problem resolved. We can't keep going on like this. Can't keep having our public come 40-something miles to pick up their vehicle because their grandma was in an accident. They just need grandma's medication out of a car and have to drive 40 miles to come get some property out of a vehicle. It's unfair to the community, not just to us, it's the community. This is y'all's community, our community. But let's do something.
Thank you for your comments. Appreciate it so much.
Thank you.
All right. Any other citizens who would like to share with us today? If there's not, thank you all very much. We have a motion to adjourn.
Move.
Second? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you all very much.